Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
I've got a good word for you today. I'm excited about this word because I think the timing is perfect. And it's how to go from stressed to blessed.
Woo!
Woo! Glory. Amen. How to go from stressed to blessed. And because we're in 50 days of transformation, we're not giving up. I don't know how many days we're in now, but don't give up. And the whole point of this, and through starting at the beginning, is to make a spiritual goal by faith. Make a faith goal. Amen. Goals are met by faith. Sometimes as faith people, we separate our faith from goals we have, but we need our faith to make them happen, right? We need God's help. We need his power. We need his word. And so today we're gonna just talk today, because if you came in here today and if you're a little tired, somebody's like, you're a little worn down, a little stressed out, you picked a great week to come to church. Amen. I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but just things going on in the world. You could have a great marriage, great kids, but there's so much crazy going on. I mean, it's crazy. There's so much crazy going on. It just stresses you out. And so we need church today. And so today we're going to look at probably last week we looked at one of the most famous stories in the Bible, the parable of the prodigal son. And we learned last week how to get closer to God. And how do we get close? First thing we need to do, we need to just come to ourselves and say, you know what? I can't live without Jesus. I need the Lord. And we need to go back to Father's house. We got to repent, turn away from some things, and be in a places we don't belong. We got to just do that. And good news is God loves you no matter what, right? No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what kind of crazy you got yourself involved in, no matter what pit you fell in, got pushed in, or tripped in, right? Doesn't matter. God loves you. God will pull you out and God will restore you. Isn't that good news? I don't know. That's just great news to me. Amen. That's just great news. And so today we're going to look at probably one of the most famous portions of scripture that lots of people know. And that's one of my faves. And I've been talking about this for the last few weeks. And so today I'm just going to give you a snippet. Psalms 23. I did this whole big study. I mean, we're talking whole big, right? You know, read books and all this thing and studied sheep. Studied sheep. And, you know, the Bible calls us sheep. So I was like, if God calls me a sheep, I want to know a little bit more about sheep. And I learned a whole lot about sheep. And one thing I learned about sheep is that sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Do you know that sheep are they're just not bright. Don't look at anybody. They're just not bright. Sheep will just walk right off of a cliff. Sheep will eat all the wrong things. Sheep cannot defend themselves at all. A sheep is one of the only animals that does not have any, not one self-defense ability. Not one. Sheep need a shepherd. They need a shepherd. And so when we look here in Psalms 23, we're going to learn today just how to go from stressed to blessed. But before we look there, I want to identify seven of the most common sources of stress in our day. And some of you are like, I'll give seven, right? I'll give seven. There are seven things that cause a lot of stress in today's lifestyle, the way that we live today. And so we're going to look at those, and then we're going to look at the antidote for it, because if we'll look at Psalms 23, we will learn from an ancient text that still applies so perfectly to today, the antidote of how to deal with stress. Because here's the thing, stress comes. You can't say, oh, I want to live a stress-free life. That's not possible. But we have to learn how to deal with stress when it comes. And so one of the number one things that cause stress is worry. We worry about a lot of stuff. We worry about everything, don't we? We worry about our safety. We worry about our nation. We worry about what the nation will look like for our children. We worry about pollution. We worry about finances. We worry about all kinds of things. And so, you know, the thing about it is that God's got an answer to worry. Second greatest source of stress is we're always in a hurry. We're always in a hurry. We live in a society that's very fast. It's very fast-paced. And when you think about it, everything is just moving quicker and quicker. And here's the thing. Speed creates stress. You know, think about even your physical body. You can walk 2 miles and have an amount of stress on your body, but if you run those same 2 miles, how many know it's going to be harder on your body? Because running is harder on your body than walking. It's harder on your knees. It's harder on every part of you. You know, my nephew is real involved in car racing. He's on a car racing team. And it's pretty exciting, you know, and some of you may have seen him on Facebook. He posts his races. And they were talking all about this thing that they did to the wheels, but they did not account for the high speed. The wheels are fine on just every day going about town. But when you put that same thing under great speed, guess what? It has a lot more stress to it. And so hurry, because we're always in a hurry. We live in a world that's hurried. You know, my dad has a place in Virginia in this little town. It's a little town, and it's called Rocky Mount, Virginia. And this town is so slow. It is so slow. I mean, it's just, they don't even have a Walmart. You know, the Walmart's like about 15 miles away or something. It's just when you go there, it's just all, you're just kind of like, you know? And I get mad at my dad every time he goes, because I don't want him to go. I want him to be here where I can keep an eye on him. You know? That's what I want. He's 85. I want him to be here where I keep an eye on him. I'm trying to get him to buy an Apple Watch so I can watch him all the time, you know? And he hasn't bought it yet. But when he goes there, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, I call him all the time. And one time he didn't answer the phone. And something wrong with his leg. He didn't answer his phone. And I got into worry. And I kept calling him. It was when he first moved there. And then finally, I'm like looking up planes. I'm like, I'm just flying up there. I don't even mess with this. I'm going to fly up there. I'm going to find out what he's doing. So finally, my dad answers the phone. And I'm just like, Dad, you can't do that. Because he has no neighbors. There's nobody around him. But when you go there, he literally sits, because I'm like, Dad, why do you want to be up here? Why do you want to be here? He's like, just come and visit. So I go up there. You sit on the back porch, and literally, you literally watch the cows. Literally. And there's mountains, and there's trees, and there's all this beautiful, you know, hurry creates stress. And so we've got to get a little... You say, well, what do we do? How do I slow down? There's ways to slow down. And I'm not going to give you the answer to these. I just want to say, let's identify some stressors. Another thing that causes stress, you know, I was reading some books on, you know, things that cause stress for people. Another thing is crowds. Crowds cause stress. When we're in this big crowd. Do you know that at one time in the 1800s, there was only one city that had 1 million people in it? Only one. Only one. This is in the 1800s. Now, many cities have over 1 million people in them. And some cities have 10 and 20, pushing 30 million people in them. And that can cause some stress when you're in those big crowds. Another thing that causes stress for us is, and this is going to be kind of maybe a surprise, is so many choices. There's so many choices. And that can cause stress. Because when there are so many choices, it can be paralyzing. You know, I remember this is years ago. When I say this word, you're going to know how many years ago. Blockbuster. Blockbuster. For you young people, ask your parents to explain that to you. We were at Blockbuster, and this parent was trying to help their kid. And so they had all these movies, and it was this little kid, and they were like, will you choose? And the little kid was looking at all the movies, and he's looking, and he's looking, and he's looking, and then he just broke down crying. Because it was just too overwhelming to make that choice. And you know what? That's true. Choices can be very overwhelming. And so there's just so much going on and so many different things. And so that can cause some stress. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, anybody ever have where you want to buy, you know, anybody have birthday money? Hello. Right? You know, you got birthday money. And this is what I do. It drives my husband crazy because he'll be like, I want to get you this for your birthday. Okay, great. But then, like, whatever that dollar amount is, I'm like, oh, but I could get this. Oh, wait, I could get two of these. Oh, I could get this. Wait. What else? I want to know everything I could possibly get. Right? But then it robs me because it delays me getting one thing. Because still, because I'm just like, well, wait. You know, wait. And so it can be overwhelming. But really, I mean, you know, it would probably be better if I was just like, just whatever, buy me whatever, you know, buy me whatever. Because choices can cause stress. Where we're like, oh, but this. And then how many have ever had buyer's remorse? Right? Or haircut remorse. Anybody get haircut remorse, right? You know, where I don't have haircut remorse because Jessica does my hair. But, you know, times past. But the thing is, there's so many choices. And so many choices can really put some stress on us, can put some stress on it. And then the next one, I think this is a big one for where we live today. And when I was reading this, I was like, oh, man, that's so true. And the book I was reading it out of was from several years ago. And I thought, man, if that was true then, is way true now. And that, here's the word they use, pluralism. Pluralism. And here's what that means, is that there are so many different kinds of people. There's so many different kinds of people. There's different, and we live among, especially where we live here in South Florida. I mean, you can go to Walmart and probably meet somebody from probably almost every country. Yeah. Right? You can go to Walmart and hear all kinds of different languages. You can go and see all different cultures. And I think that's a beautiful thing, but it can also put a little bit of stress because if you're not careful, you'll feel isolated, like nobody's like me. And the thing is that in years past, people who were alike lived together. You had the same same culture. You had the same ideals. You had the same religion. You ate the same foods. And you lived together. But now we have people, you may have someone right next door to you who is totally 100% anti everything you believe in. Yeah. Right? You may have someone at work who is anti everything you think. Whether it's politically, whether it's through religion, whether it's through culture, whether it's through diet, whatever it is. And that can put some stress on you because you're constantly among conflict. Do you get it? Yeah. We're constantly with conflict. And sometimes those conflicts explode. And sometimes, you know, it's just an underlying, I know you don't like me. You know, I know you don't like me and you're just tolerating me. Because we're not the same. And so that pluralism, it can cause some serious stressors. You know, technology has shrunk the globe. It has shrunk the globe so much because, you know, they used to call us a melting pot, but now they say we're more of a stew, you know, because things don't melt. We still hold on to identities, and that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It is how it is. And so that can cause some stress for us because if we're not careful, we'll continue to fight for how it used to be. But we have to realize the world has changed. There's always going to be different cultures, different religions, different political ideas. That is the world we live in today. And through technology, those opinions and those voices can be very loud. And so that pluralism can really cause some stress on us. It can cause conflict. And where there's conflict, there can be rudeness. How many would agree that people are ruder now than, I mean, it's just crazy how rude people are. And technology has done that. Technology has made people feel they can be faceless behind a screen and say things that they would never in 100 years say to somebody's face. And so that can cause stress on us. That can cause a lot of stress on us. And then the last thing is, and this is a big one for us, is fear of the future. Fear of the future can cause a lot of stress. What's going to happen? Now that this happened, what's going to happen? Now that this is happening, what's going to happen? What are the effects of what's happening? What are the effects of pollution? What are the effects of political things? What are the effect of, you know, economy? What is the effect of the world being a smaller place, being so connected? What are the effects of that? And so there's a lot of what ifs and the fear of the future. And so we're going to look at Psalms 23. So open your Bibles, read it up here on the screen. But we're going to look at Psalms 23. Because all of the antidotes of all of those things are found in Psalms 23. Isn't that good news? So if you heard that and you're like, yeah, that, you know, I deal with worry. I deal with everything being so big and being in such a hurry. I deal with that. I deal with, you know, living with people with different ideas and different cultures. You know, it caused that conflict. It bothers me. The political conflict is causing me stress. And I think that's causing a lot of people stress. The political conflict is causing so much stress for people. And so we need God's antidote for it. Amen? And so over here in Psalms 23, this is such a powerful portion of scripture. And, you know, sometimes we hear things so much, or you see it on a little card, or you see it on a plaque on the wall, and you forget the power in it. You know, it's not just a saying. This is the word of God himself. Amen? This is God's word for us. There's power in that greeting card you got that had Psalms 23 on it. Amen? There's power in that plaque hanging in your kitchen that has Psalms 23. There's power in it. There's power in it. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to read a different translation here. The Lord is my shepherd, so I have all I need. He makes me lay down in lush green meadows, and he leads me beside calm, quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, just in that short six verses, we have the antidote for stress. Amen? We have the antidote for it. This is probably one of the most beloved psalms in the Bible, and it's not by accident. It's because it gives comfort, and it has given comfort to people for thousands and thousands of years. And when you dig into it, when you don't just like, oh, that's pretty, when you dig into it, you realize that God is giving us great instruction for our life, great instruction for our life. And so today I want to look at, we're building new habits, right? We're going through a transformation process. We're saying, you know what? I want to change from how I have been. I want to change. I want something to change in my life, to transform. How many say that's me? How many want to live longer, right? How many want to be healthier? All of us, right? Right here, Psalms 23 is going to tell us how to do that. It's going to tell us how to do that. And so the first stress that we have is the fear of, is stress of worry. We worry because we think we have to get all that we need, right? Anytime you expect other people to meet your needs, it's going to result in worry.
That's good.
Every time you expect other people to meet your needs, it will result in worry. Because the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The other translation, I have everything I need. God meets my needs. God meets my needs. Because you know what? You can lose a lot of things. You can lose a job. You can lose a friendship. You can lose a relationship. You can lose, you can go through health struggles. You can lose a lot of things. But you will never lose God.
Amen?
Amen? God meets my needs. We got to look to God. And so what's the habit I want to build? I want to look to God to meet all my needs. And everything else is just bonus. It's just bonus. The first thing David said we do, David wrote the Psalms 23. He says, I look to God to meet all my needs. And when we do that, it's going to calm us down.
Amen.
Because when I put my trust in God, it's going to change. This single change in your life, if you will stop looking to other people to meet your needs. I can't look to somebody else to make me feel good about myself. I can't look to somebody else to make me feel worthy. I can't look to somebody else to make me feel valuable. If they do, that's great. That's wonderful. But if it doesn't come from God, it won't be lasting. Because how many know people change their mind? How many have ever had somebody that just thought you were the best thing ever? You were the best thing ever. You were all that in a bag of chips. And then, a year, 6 months, 5 months down the road, they're like, I don't know. Not so much. Right? But see, God doesn't do that. God is constant. God is faithful. God is consistent. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so when I look to God to meet my needs, it's going to help me so much with my sense of security. Because you know what? Jobs change. Things change. The economy changes. There are people that put all of their trust in their money. But you know what? Money goes, right? Money goes. Economy changes. Things are different. Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, so I have all I need. I shall not want. I have everything I don't need because he's my shepherd. I'm going to stop expecting people to meet the needs that only God can meet. In Romans chapter 8, it says this, since God did not spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us, won't he also surely give us everything else we need? And that, think about that. We've heard that. Most of us in here, we've been in church a long time. We've heard that. But think about that for a second. The Bible says, if God will give you his son, his only begotten son, is he really going to hold rent money from you? Is he really going to hold peace from you? Is he really going to hold these things from you? You say, well, he has. No, he has not. No, he has not. We got to get on the right side of that.
Amen.
Amen. And so God comes through.
Yes,
God comes through. I was talking to somebody. I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about this just while we were singing that song. I was just kind of, a lot of times when we're singing, I'm just like, I want to do well. I want the message to get across. I want what's in me to come out. And so I was standing there and I was thinking about, worry and just like that. And just the Holy Ghost, he just reminded me, I'll tell you what, when sometimes things, it just seems like, man, how's this going to work out? And I was, and I don't think about this very often, but I remember 14 years ago when Pastor Mark died. He died. We're a Word of Faith church, people. We believe in the healing power of Jesus, and our pastor died. How many know that can make you go, right? So there's that. Then financially, we were in a very difficult place. We had, many people don't know this, we had just gone through, we had been sued. We had been sued for something stupid. It was so dumb. We had been, that's life in the U.S., right? We'll never be sued again in Jesus' name. We had just been sued, and it was very expensive. Even though you're right, it can still be expensive. We had just bought this building. It was a very difficult time. And do you know that, and then, the sharks are circling. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? And I remember telling the staff, I'm like, listen, let's just keep moving forward. Let's just keep showing up every Sunday, Let's just keep the doors open every Sunday. Let's just keep moving. Let's keep moving. But I tell you, worry tried to come on all of us. Worry and discouragement tried to come on all of us. And I tell you, we just said, God will get us through.
Amen.
God will get us. God is Jehovah Jireh. He didn't plan this, but he knew it. Did you get that? It wasn't God's plan, but he knew it was going to happen. And we look back and we see where God prepared us for what we thought was unthinkable. God had been preparing us. Listen, God will come through for you. You stay close to him, he'll come through for you. Amen. It may not feel like it. It may not look like it. It may look like the rug has been pulled out from under you. It may, whether it's, no matter what, whether it's the loss of maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's loss. Someone has died. Whether it's financial loss, you've lost your job, and you think, man, how are we going to get through this? The Lord is my shepherd.
He is.
It's his job to get me through it.
Amen.
Amen. That's the shepherd's job to get me through it. My job is to follow. Amen? It's his job to get me through. It's my job to follow. The Lord is my shepherd. If God gave his only son for us, what would he withhold? Think about that as parents in here. What would you give before you gave your child? Everything. Right? God just did it different. He gave his child and everything. And that's so good. Let's stop looking to people to meet our needs because they're going to let us down. There's no one who could or is equipped to meet your emotional needs. Amen. Only God can do that. Amen. Other people can help, but only God can do it. Amen. You know, that's why, you know, we live in a nation where more antidepressants and those types of drugs, and I'm not against those. I don't want you to feel condemnation. I'm just saying, listen, if you're going to take that, take Jesus too. Amen. Amen. Doesn't that make sense? If you're going to take that, take Jesus too. Because Jesus is the answer. The others can help, but he can heal. Because you know those medications, they don't heal you. They just help you. And thank God for the help. Amen. Thank God for the help. If you're getting the help, thank God for it. But don't just settle for the help when you can have the healing. Amen. And that makes sense? Yeah. That's just good preaching right there. That's just good. Go Isaiah 30:15 says, the sovereign Lord says, only in returning to me and waiting for me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. It's not in anxiety. It's not in fear. It's not in any of that. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. If we'll just learn to meditate on that, just while you're driving down the road, turn your radio off for a minute and just meditate. And that means to just chew on it over and over again. Man, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. When stuff starts coming like, oh, you got to do this. You need this. You need that. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. What I need, I have. What I need, I have. Amen. What I need, I have. I have the wisdom for the decisions I need to make. I have the finances to take care of my family. I have the job that I'm looking for. Amen? I have what I need because Jesus, the Lord, is my shepherd. That's his job. How many think Jesus does a good job? That's his job. That's his job. The next thing that we're going to look at is when we're thinking about stress is that we need to go to verse number 2. And that's, I've got to obey God's instructions about rest.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What's the next thing? He makes me lay down. He makes me lay down in lush green meadows. I love that. And I used to have a little problem with it because I was like, what do you mean he makes me? You know, I don't like to be made to do anything. Right? How about you guys? It's like, you know, don't tell me what to do. Bless God, he can tell me what to do. Nobody else, except for Jesus. but I was just like, what do you mean? I don't get that. But here, you know, just in studying and learning, God created us, right? God made us. We're made, if you even have a hint of a struggle of believing that you are made by God, and if you even think, if you just have a hint of a struggle and there's nothing wrong with it, because we all have questions. How many know God's not afraid of your question? But you have maybe a hint of thinking like, oh, you know, evolution and that kind of thing. I challenge you to read the book, Wonderfully Made. I challenge you that we are beautifully and wonderfully made. I challenge you to read that book and then come and talk to me. And that's a freebie right there. But here's the thing. God made us. And once you learn and you know the human body and the intricacies and the amazement of it, you will never think that we came out of goo. Never. It'd just be like, it takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe that God made me, you know? But that's another lesson. And so anyway, but we're made. Do you know that your body is designed to sleep? God could have made you any way that God wanted to. But he designed us that we require rest. He makes me lay down. My body's made to sleep. You know, you'll sleep 1/3 of your life. Isn't that kind of crazy? But the truth is that we need sleep. I consider myself somewhat of a sleep expert. I do. Not because I like to sleep, not because of that, but because if you guys recall, you know, about 5 years ago, Pastor Scott went through a real serious health issue, and a lot of it had to do with sleep. And so I just began to read and study all about sleep and how important sleep is, and also to get God's word about it. We're made to sleep. So when the Bible says he makes me lay down, listen, if you don't lay down, your body will make you. Anybody want to give a testimony? Right? If you don't rest, your body will, at one point or another, it will make you. And so when we see this, it says, he makes me lay down. But, you know, he doesn't just make you lay down anywhere. In lush green meadows, right? And so we need to obey God's instruction about rest. So much of the stress that we have in life comes from always being in a hurry, always working too much, always feeling like we've got too much to do. That's why we overwork, because we can never catch up, and we have this constant feeling, I can never catch up. I can never get caught up. It's constant. There's always something to do, and it causes stress. It causes stress on us. You know, when we think about that, God made us. He could have created us any way we wanted to, any way he wanted to, but he created us to rest. And here's the thing. Even God himself rested. Not because God needed rest. How many know God doesn't need to rest? But the Bible says on the seventh day, he rested. What is he doing? He's modeling for us the importance of rest. And when you think about why did God rest? He wasn't tired. He's saying, listen, you've got to rest. We need that Sabbath time. We need it. God designed this. Here's how important rest is. How many have ever heard of the Big Ten? The Big Ten Commandments, right? Who's heard of the Big Ten Commandments? You saw the movie, Let My People Go, right? It's huge, the Big Ten Commandments. Do you know right up there with don't commit adultery, don't murder, rest. You ever think about that? Right up there with the big ones, Big Ten, is honor the Sabbath. And Sabbath is rest. Sabbath is rest. But, you know, sometimes we don't want a Sabbath because we think Sabbath, I can't do anything. I just got to lay on the couch. I'm Sabbathing. You want to go watch the game? No, I'm Sabbathing. You want to play euchre? No, I'm Sabbathing. That's not what Sabbath is. You know, that's not what Sabbath is. The Bible is filled with instructions about rest and recreation and relaxation. And just like I said, it was so important that God put it in the top 10. He said, listen, you know, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't lie, get your rest. Right? I mean, that's how important it is. And so I never thought about that until I went to this pastor's school and they did this whole thing. It was Robert Morris actually teaching on the Sabbath. And as he's teaching it, I'm just thinking to myself, wow, I needed this teaching. I needed it. And ever since I heard that teaching, I've really been pretty good about it. And, you know, and it really helps. It helps you. It helps with every area of your life. Because listen to this. I read this. I think Robert Morris said it was so good. Write this down. To be your best, you have to rest. Sometimes we think like, oh, no, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. But when you don't rest, it's not your best. You're not wasting time resting.
Ooh, that's good.
You're not wasting time resting. And people who say, "Well, I feel guilty when I rest." You know how many? And you don't have to raise your hand because I know it's probably everybody, all the ladies in here. We're like, I can't. There's laundry to do. I can't rest. There's dishes in the sink. I can't rest. You know, there's this to do. I can't rest. But what we're really saying is, I know better than God.
Amen.
And listen, I'm preaching to myself too. I'm preaching to myself. I know better than God, because God says to rest. We shouldn't feel guilty about resting because Jesus himself rested.
Amen.
Jesus rested. It was his job to preach the gospel. It was his job to show the Father. How many know he's got a bigger job than you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was his job to bring a new and better way into the entire world. That was his job. But he still rested. He rested often. Jesus said this. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for you. It's made for you. In other words, God said, I created this idea of you to take a day off every 7 days. That's what it is, to rest. That's what the Bible says. It's for recreation. It's for worship. It's for restoration. And it's for our benefit. And it's so we don't burn out. So when we see Psalms 23:2, it says, he makes me lie down. That's what it's talking about. He makes me. Either you'll rest or your body will make you rest. You are designed to rest. You're designed that way. You're made that way. And when we go against creation, when we go against the way that we're made, it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. You know, the sheep, getting back to sheep, sheep are not smart enough to rest on their own. They're not smart enough to get the rest and to stop. And so the shepherd has to make them do it. He has to make them do it. Getting enough sleep is essential to stress management. It's a stress. And remember, you can't live a life without stress. Stress isn't going to come. You have to learn how to manage it. You have to learn how to not invite more than what is your share, right? You know, two people can go through the same situation, both stressful, and one will take every bit of it on, and another one will walk through it with, you know, managing it well. I want to be that one. How about you? I want to be that one. The Bible says there's a Sabbath. In Exodus 34:21, it says, 6 days are set aside for work, but every seventh day you must rest. You must rest. And then it says, even during your seasons of plowing and harvest, you must observe a Sabbath day of rest. So God's saying, even during those busy seasons, you got to rest. And so what type of rest are we looking for? Am I just going to lay on the couch and not talk, not play with the kids, not do anything with my spouse and say, oh, no, I'm Sabbathing, right? No, that's not how it works. Here's three things we're supposed to do on our Sabbath. We're supposed to rest our body. We need to physically rest. It's I believe it's just the Bible's way of saying that a good Sunday afternoon nap is a God thing. Amen. Got a big amen over here in the corner right now. Another thing that we're supposed to do on our Sabbath is when we refocus our spirit.
Amen.
And that's through worship. And that's what we're doing here. That's why church is part of Sabbath. Church is part of Sabbath. It's where I refocus. I get that fill up. I get reminded that I'm not alone, that there's a whole body of people, a family of people that thinks like me, believes like me, honors God like me, that we need that. You can't get through Monday through Saturday with all that other, remember that pluralism, that conflict and all that. You need this day to come in and get recharged, like, woo, I'm all right, you're with me, all right. We need that, and we need to worship God. There's a book called Imperfect Harmony, and it's all about the benefits, the physical benefits of singing together. And it was written by somebody that's not a believer. It was a scientific study, and they discovered what we already knew. How many love it when science comes out and says, oh, blah, blah, and you're like, hello, the Bible already says that. Right? It's like, hello? But they wouldn't be like, oh, we've done this study. It's like, it's right here. Hello? They did this big scientific study. It's a true story. You can read the book. It's not a Christian book. It's just a book on people who like to study stuff. And they did a thing where they got all these people together, and they studied the benefit of singing together. Imperfectly, imperfect harmony. So you had all these people singing together. Lowers your blood pressure. So if you came in today and you sang along with the worship, guess what? Your blood pressure got lower. People who sang together in groups lived longer. People who sang together in groups, even if they're like kumbaya, whatever, it doesn't matter. Whatever they sang, doesn't matter what they sing, even if it's karaoke, it's just people singing together People singing together, lower blood pressure, live longer, had less stress. There's like this whole list, I can't remember now, whole list of benefits that it had. And so this time here, this worship time together, you take all those natural things and then you add the supernatural. I'm worshiping God. I'm getting in touch with God spiritually. I'm reconnecting because this has been a tough week. I'm reconnecting to God corporately. And guess what? Your body's getting recharged. Your spirit man is getting recharged. And so it refocuses my spirit. Next thing we do on our Sabbath is we recharge our emotions. And really, that's a lot what recreation does. That's why recreation is a good thing. You know, God's into football. He's into all that kind of stuff. God likes that kind of stuff. He created you to like that kind of thing. You know, I mean, it's, you know, watch a football game with a couple of big fans. You're going to see, man, they're getting their emotions are pumping, right? You know, and you know, and you're, you know, like, I'm like, oh, go team, you know, but I mean, they're like into it. They're into it, and it's a relief for them. It's a relief. I'm not going to look at anyone. We got a bunch of Patriots fans right here. We got Nicole McDowell. We got these guys, you know. And, you know, you guys are passionate about that. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And so your Sabbath, you know, whatever day, Sabbath doesn't have to be Sunday. If you don't work on Sunday, it's a great day to have Sabbath. You know, today's not my Sabbath day. Right? Today's not my Sabbath day. Today's a work day. So we come in, we work, and it lasts through the day. You know? It lasts through the day. And so my Sabbath day is Monday. So on Monday, like, I don't really answer my phone. I'm not real connected to my phone. I kind of try to put it aside and not really deal with it. And so, what am I doing? I'm resting. I'm recharging. I like to do things that I like to do. A lot of times on Sunday, I mean, on Monday, I'll just go, listen, ladies, I'll just go to TJ Maxx and walk around. I don't have to buy anything. I mean, to me, that's like a recharge. It's recreation for me. I know, I live an exciting life, right? You know, Peggy, what do you do for fun? I walk around TJ Maxx, Home Goods, those kind of stores, you know. Or I look at, you know, whatever, I know I'm boring. So, you know, the thing that gets us to the next part, and this was so good. I read this, and I was like, oh, that's so good. And I taught this a while back when I did the sheep thing. And it says, he maketh me lie down. But notice that he doesn't make us just lie down anywhere. In lush meadows and green pastures. Their stress is, you know, God is teaching us something here. He's reminding you, the Lord is my shepherd. You don't have to worry about stuff. He's got you. He's got you. It's his job to guide you through things. It's his job to care for you. You know what a shepherd does? A shepherd guides. A shepherd feeds. A shepherd protects. It's what a shepherd does. The Lord is my shepherd. He designed me to rest. And then where he has me rest, there is power in. You know, God could have made the earth any way that he wanted. The earth could look like the moon. But how many know it doesn't? To our knowledge, it's different from every other planet. You know why? Because we live here. The earth is so filled with beautiful things. And it is and I love when science proves the Bible. I love that. I just love it because I'm just like, man, when are you guys going to realize God's smarter than that? Because study after study after study shows that being outdoors, being among nature, even if it's your own backyard, just being outside lowers stress. Looking at beautiful things lowers stress. Hearing beautiful music lowers stress. Looking at beautiful art lowers stress. That's another reason why if you have even an inkling of thinking of evolution, if evolution were true and it's survival of the fittest, then why would we have music and art? Two things that are completely unnecessary for our survival. Completely unnecessary. But yet it is a huge part of our lives. Because we're made by a creator. And he put in us the power to create. And that's why when you're creating, you're the most like God. You're the most like God. Music and just music and art and beautiful things. And how many have ever heard somebody say, oh, I just feel so close to God when I'm in nature? Well, that's true probably because God created it. Amen. You know, this past year we went on one of the most beautiful trips. And I've been to some pretty beautiful places. But we went to California. And just through the whole trip, you know, we're on the Pacific coast, and just the beauty of the place, it's just, it's incredible. I have one distinct memory where we came around a corner, we were on motorcycles, and we came around this corner, and there were this huge, I mean, these redwood trees are incredible. We come around this corner, and you know, most of the time, it's like you could die at any second, because you're going to fall off the cliff, right? You know, we're on motorcycles, and it's just kind of dangerous. And so, we come around this corner, and there's this gigantic, beautiful, amazing redwood tree. And I remember just, I was like, oh! It was stunningly beautiful. But listen, you can't expect to not... You're not doing it God's way if you're sitting inside all the time, on the phone, on the TV, looking at concrete. It's not God's way. And I'm not like, oh, let's all just go sit at the beach. You know, that's not me. I'm not going to do that. I'm just saying, listen, if we want to deal with stress, if we want to go from stressed to blessed, we got to do it God's way. And one of the things God says is, listen, he makes you rest. We need to rest. And he makes us rest, not in a cave. It could have said he makes me lie down in a cave. No, it says he makes me lay down in a beautiful pasture, in a green meadow. It's a beautiful thing. We need to see that stuff. That's why we appreciate the arts. Because we need to see that stuff. It does something to us. That's how God made you. Let's stop trying to get away from how God made us. And get back to how he made us. And if we get back to how he made us, we're going to work better. How many know it's you know, a high heel shoe might work to put a nail in, right? It works. Believe it might work. But how many know the right tools make it better? They make it better. It's everything is better when we do it God's way. And so when we read this, you know, let's not just skip over that. And because, you know, here's the thing. Ugliness stresses you out. That's just a fact. That's a fact. Ugliness stresses you out. It stresses me out. It's a stress. That's why we need to get outside every day. That's why we need to start the day with God and not the media. Let's start the day with God and not the media. Do you know that they say, you know, I love studies, if you haven't ever realized about me. I love when people study people to find out what the Bible already says. I just love that. You know, and so studies show that the first 7 minutes of your day will set the tone of your day. First 7 minutes of your day will set the tone of your day. So ask yourself, how are you setting yourself up if you're watching the news? If you're getting all that ugliness, all that just, you just get, that's how you're starting your day. You know what? That's setting the tone for your day, and then you wonder why you're so stressed. Yeah. Wow. Let's start our day with God and not the media. Yes. Go ahead. Let's start our day with God and not Facebook and not all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm so blessed, and if you want me to be real involved in Facebook, it's not going to happen. You know, you can look at my phone. My Facebook is filled with pictures of Sharpays. Because I follow Sharpay World, Sharpay owners, Sharpay lovers. I mean, it's just Sharp. I sit on the couch at night and I just look at pictures of puppies. I have Sharpays and I love them. I said, oh, look, and I'll show Scott, look at this. He's like, no, you know, because he thinks I want another dog. But ugliness, it does something to you. And I would challenge you today. Let's set some goals. I challenge you today. You're waking up to an alarm clock anyway, or whatever, you know, you're waking up to that. And then you're going to turn on, you know, whoever news you like, whether it's Fox, CNN, whoever's you, you're going to turn that in and you're going to just hear people going after people, talking about how bad stuff is. Yeah, the news is important, but I don't need it first thing. I don't need him first thing. You know who I need first thing? I need God first thing. I need God first thing. Let's set our phones where, man, when we wake up, you know, wake up to some, if you can, you know, some people can't, but if you can, wake up to some worship music, right? And then play that. Play some worship or just don't play anything. Just be still. Amen? You know, we want to change our lives. To change our lives, we got to change what we do every day. If we don't form new habits, we're going to just keep living the same day. We're going to have Groundhog Day life, right? How many saw Groundhog Day? We're going to have Groundhog Day life if we don't change our habits. Listen, I don't want a Groundhog Day life. And so I just challenge you. There's so many people are, you know, road rage is huge. You know why? Because people are so stressed. They're so stressed out. So let's form some new habits. Let's start the day with God and not with the media. Let's intentionally put some pretty stuff around us, some beautiful things. Let's listen to some, you know, whatever your idea of beautiful music is. We may have different ideas of what that is, but let's make a point of it to have it in our life because we need it. God didn't make the world the way it is because we didn't need it. He made the world the way it is because we needed it. Amen? Philippians 4:8 says this. This is such a powerful scripture. You'll do best. How many want to do best? You'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true and noble, reputable and authentic and compelling and gracious. The best. Amen. Not the worst. Not the beautiful. Not just the ugly. Listen, there's going to be ugly times in our life. There's going to be ugly stuff that happens. But it doesn't have to fill our lives. Amen? You know, you can tell when somebody listens to way too much talk radio. I'm not looking anywhere. You can tell. You know why? Because they start sounding like it. Because what you set yourself under, the Bible says, takes you over. What you set yourself under takes you over. I don't know about you. I don't want to be taken over by the news. I don't want to be taken over by that. I want God to be the one who leads and guides me. And so we got to be careful of what we're putting over us. So I need to recharge myself. The Bible says that I need to rest. I've got to rest. Don't make the mistake of not resting because that's exactly what it is. It's a mistake. If you feel guilty about resting, you are falling into the trap of the enemy. There was a funny story. This pastor told this story, and he said that somebody kept calling him on Monday, and the guy came up to him. He's all mad, and he's like, I tried to get a hold of you all day on Monday, and the pastor said, well, I'm sorry. That's my Sabbath day. I'm off that day. There's other staff members to take care of you. And the guy says, well, the devil doesn't take a day off. And so the pastor said, well, Jesus did. Who do you want to be like? You want to follow the pattern of the devil, or you want to follow the pattern of Jesus? That's pretty good, right? I wish I could come up with comebacks like that, you know. But the thing is that it's so true. The Bible says all throughout the Word, it's in the top 10. And you say, man, this doesn't seem like a spiritual message. Listen, you're going to be a better mom, a better dad, a better employee, a better boss, a better Christian when you rest. Because not resting, and I'm passionate about rest because I've seen the effect of not doing it. I've seen what it does to somebody's body. It causes anxiety. It causes depression. It causes high blood pressure. It causes all kinds of health situations. All because we don't want to do it God's way. We got to rest. Because when we rest, and if you study sleep, and this is, I'll stop talking about sleep after this. I can talk about it for days. How many know every day you have stress? You have things that happen. Stuff happens. You got situations. And they build up in you. They build up in your brain. And then when you sleep, this is how beautiful God designed your body. When you sleep, it's like all the windows in the computer are closed down. And it restarts fresh. So if you never rest, it's like you've got 1 million windows open on your computer. And then you're going, why is this so slow? Why isn't this working? Right? Well, you got 1 million windows open. And so when we rest, God designed our bodies that when we sleep, your mind, it resets. And you wake up the next day, and you may still have a little bit coming, but you don't have the whole day. And that's how God made you. And so if we really want to go from stressed to blessed, we gotta just make a decision. You know what? I'm going to do it God's way. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Let's let God meet our needs. Let's look to God to meet our needs. Amen? And that's the beginning of a journey. You say, well, I'm worried about this. Well, that's why building up your faith and building your relationship with him makes you have more trust in him. When you first meet somebody, you're not going to say, hey, here's my wallet. Hold this for me. Right? Hey, here's my paycheck. Can you hold this for me? We're not going to walk up to some guy on Lake Worth Road and say, hey, I didn't have time to go to the bank. Could you take this for me? Right? We'd be like, you're nuts. But you know what? You would say that to someone you knew, someone that you trusted. You would say that. And see, if you can't say that to God yet, it's because you need to get to know him. And when you get to know him, you will trust him. So don't be like, oh, I can't do that. Get to know him as your shepherd, then you will begin to trust him. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I have everything I need. He makes me to lie down. Our bodies are made to rest. We can't skip that step. He makes me lay down in green pastures, in lush meadows. I need the world. I need the outside. I need beautiful music. I need beautiful art. I need that stuff. I need it. Amen? I need to rest. I need to take my Sabbath. I need to have recreation time. I need to watch the game with friends. I need to play cards with people I love. I need to walk through the aisles of Home Goods. Whatever your thing is. But we need to, and here, sometimes I heard my pastor, Pastor Tim Gilligan, he says this, on your Sabbath, if you work with your head all through the week, on your Sabbath, work with your hands. Right? So it doesn't mean I can't do anything. It means I do something different. I do something different. Something that just kind of does a number in me. Makes me feel better. That's what Sabbath is. And if it's so important that it's in the top 10, how many know it needs to be important to me? And so this may not seem like a super spiritual message, but you know what? It's way more spiritual than you realize. Because sometimes we want to skip the little things because we want this big revelation. Whoa. Oh, I need a big, but what good is a big revelation going to do is if you're too tired to receive it? What good is a big revelation about your marriage, about your future, if you continually don't do it God's way? What good is it for God to say you're called to great things when you continually want to be your own shepherd, want to burn the candle at both ends where you're constantly exhausted, you're never at your best, you can't hear from God because you're too tired? You ever been just so tired you want to cry? You can't go through life like that. We need to say, you know what? I've tried it my way. I've tried it the hurry, 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 hurry of the world's way. I'm going to do it God's way and see what happens. I trust God that you'll see a transformation.
Amen.
Amen? I believe it. I believe it. Let's quit falling for that. It's a trap of the enemy that if you're not busy, you're not worthy. That is a lie from the pit of hell. People come up to me all the time and say, I know you're busy. I'm like, I'm not too busy. I'll never let myself get too busy. I've been there, done that. Let's not fall for that trap. The enemy wants to tell you that if you're not on your phone, if you're not multitasking, which is another source of stress, if you're not multitasking, if you're not doing this, you're not doing this, and you're not worthy. You're not valuable. And you know what? Those are lies. I'm not going to listen to the enemy on how to live my life. Let's listen to God on how to do it. Amen. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, as we've just dug deep into Psalms 23, that, Lord, just the three truths that we heard today, that, Lord, that they will just camp on us. They'll set heavy on us because they're your way of living. And no matter how the world changes, no matter what year it is, your word is still the best advice, the best pattern, the best there is. And so, Father, I pray for everybody here. I pray that we would get a revelation that by looking to you as our shepherd, as our source, as our need meter, that it's going to alleviate a lot of stress in our life. By resting in you, by taking our Sabbath, where we take just time during the week to realign our spirit man, to recharge ourselves spiritually and physically, that it will make us better through the rest of the week. Lord, help us see that. Help us see your pattern for living is the best pattern. Give us eyes to see that your way is the best way. Give us eyes to see, Lord. Help us see the lie of the enemy when he's trying to tell us how to live. He's trying to tell us how to do stuff. Let us look at it and say, no, that is not God's way. And the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, help us this week. Help us. And Father, if there's anyone here today that hasn't made you the Lord of their life, that hasn't said, Lord, I want to give you all of me for all of you, hasn't done the exchange where we exchange our life without God, we exchange it for a life with him, where he is our Lord, our Savior, the one who forgives us, restores us, redeems us, empowers us. Oh, the list is so long. Lord, if we haven't made that exchange yet, let today be the day that we say, Jesus, I don't want to live without you one more day. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have a heart that says, I want Jesus in my life. And I'm going to invite him into it today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, if you're here today and you say, you know what? I've never given my heart to Jesus. I've never opened up my life and said, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I've never made room for God, but today I want to. I don't have all the answers and I still have lots of questions, but this is where I need to start. I need to start with Jesus. The Bible says that God, he loved you so much that he gave his only son. And he gave his life for you. He gave his life for me so that I could have forgiveness for all my sins, all my mistakes, and that I could have eternity with God. Oh, it's such a great deal. When I receive Jesus, the Bible says I get all my sins forgiven. I get all the power I need to live life on this earth. And I get to spend eternity with God in heaven. All of that, and all I have to do is give Jesus my life. All my mess ups, my hang ups, my screw ups, everything. I just say, Lord, come into my life. Be my Lord. I don't want to live another day without you. If that's you, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if that's you, just raise your hand. I'm not going to call you down. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I just want you to say yes to Jesus. Yeah, I see your hand. Anybody else? Yes to Jesus. I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. For the sake of those who raised their hand, and if you didn't raise it, you're like, oh, I'm too shy. I'm too embarrassed. That's okay. God meets you where you are. Say this prayer with us. Say this prayer with us and mean it from your heart. Let's all say it together. Say, Father God, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I don't have it all figured out. And I still have a bunch of questions. But one thing I know, I don't want to live without Jesus in my life one more day. So Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you're the Son of God, that you came, you died, and you rose again for me. I believe that. That makes me saved, part of the family, right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isn't God so good? He's so good all the time. Hey, listen, today when you go home, you can say, Pastor said to take a nap. Amen. More importantly, you can say, God said to take a nap. Amen. Leave the dishes in the sink. The world's not going to crumble, right? It's not going to end because there's a dish in the sink. It's not going to end if there's a little bit of laundry to do. But you know what? You're going to be refreshed, restored, and be able to tackle the next week far better when we honor the Sabbath. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so here we're going to receive our offering, and we're going to give because that's what we do. We live generously here at BBC. And we have a saying here. We say it all the time. It's who we are. We say we give because we want to, not because we have to. And if you don't want to give, what do we say? Amen. Just keep it. We love you. We care about you. But offerings are received. And there's a whole bunch of us here. And we say, you know what? We believe the word of God when it comes to money. We trust God when it comes to money. We're going to do it His way. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God, to be doers of the word. And we thank you that you received this offering and that, Father, you are faithful to your word. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen. Amen.